I'm Jean Butler, and I'm sitting on the steps with Jennifer Momsen, and we're going to have a chat about what we feel like chatting about in terms of dance. So maybe we'll start with the easy question, and just what are you up to presently outside of this workshop, because we'll get into the workshop in a bit. Are you working on anything particular? Are you...
Well, I'm getting ready to teach this dance and environment class, which... It's really exciting to put it together because I'm pulling together some of the cultural theory and critical theory that inform my own understanding of nature and wilderness, and then pairing it with this kind of somatic training that I have here that has these potentially cultural understandings of what is organic or natural or developmental or based on the systems of the body, and I experience those in one way of knowing, and they have a certain reality to them, and then the critical thinking, it's nice to have that kind of dialogue where the critical thinking kind of shakes everything up, but the body shakes everything up too, but then still, you know, I'm working on releasing my muscles or finding an efficient way to use my skeleton, and it's, or not doing that. I'm doing authentic movement and squeezing everything and wriggling and cavorting around without any idea. So I'm really trying to get at the crux of these kind of frictions or confrontations or symbiotic understandings between these ideas of nature and science and dance. And I'm really excited about being in a whole semester of pursuing these ideas. And at the same time, I've been commissioned by the Environmental Council, who's organizing an environmental conference at the university, to make, you know, a 10-minute dance that's going to open the conference. And they're also commissioning a contemporary composer to write something for a string quartet. So I've always used music with people that I know, like Zena or James Lowe or Guy Yarden. So it's really interesting to be in that. It's a much more conventional situation for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just questioning my role as I'm in a more conventional world in the Midwest of what issues become more or less important to me. And that's right. Interesting.
It seems like a really interesting place in terms of having this interest in taking the two different sides of dance and then the environment, and but then having the overall structure of an academic environment to which also probably pushes in somewhere.
Yeah.
But in terms of using the course as a research.
Yeah.
You know, which there tends to be a lot of that going on right now, which is really exciting. So it's not like instructional in any way. It's just like, here we are all interested in something. If you're interested, there's no objective except to go deeper into this.
Yeah. Because I was really thinking about the condensed feel of this 5-day workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how concentrated it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really difficult for me to figure out how to teach once a week. You know, it's a really different kind of concentration and focus, but I'm sure there's benefits to it.
I'm sure that space of reflection informs the next place, where here it's quite...
Yeah,
every other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I was in Illinois.
Well, you can come.
Well, maybe I will. Then maybe we should just segue into what we are doing here
in the five days
and... from your point of view, what you were focusing on. I have my ideas of what you're focusing on, but when you're teaching in 5 days, what's your kind of, you know, in thinking about it, what did you think? I'm going to focus on this, and...
So the past couple times I've taught melt, because I was teaching more improvisational work, and it was much more influenced by the processes that I developed in Bird Brain, and somehow maybe the formalization of melt, I felt, I should really address my even more basic concerns as a choreographic thinker in the world. And so that made me, you know, as I introduced, like, what are the basic materials that choreographers use, space, time, and energy. And then the first couple times I taught it maybe had similar ways of approaching it, but then this time I said, well, how has it changed how I'm thinking about space? And that was quite obvious, you know, how I think about space has been radically informed by working with this other generation of 18-year-olds. So I really wanted to explore that with this particular group of people. I love the combination of minds and influences that are in the Melt Workshop in New York. And then, you know, time as well, and then energy. So usually I spend one day on each thing, and it's kind of crazy packed. So it was nice to kind of spread things out a little bit. But, you know, as I guess we should let the recorder know, since we both know that my interest in space is exploring the kind of space that is proposed by social networks that are based on the internet or the web, that the shifting knowledge of or knowing or experience of space that's both far and close and in your hand and in your body and in your memory or ever-present different conjunctions of space packed up against each other, or that I feel like are really changing this generation of people who grow up on computers and on cell phones and with these small digital gadgets. So even the habitual movements of how people use phones and then the space that they propose was how I was trying to. So we made, I asked the class to make scores using that space with cell phones and things.
Yeah, it was interesting because I felt very, very much that you were using the elemental, the elements of dance, time, space, energy, and bringing us back to that place of exploring in detail each little time, space, and energy, and well, we're doing energy today, which is actually really refreshing. It was almost like going back to this place of where it was all about. But then, at the same time, simultaneously recognizing that that space is also included in that space is this whole technology, and that that's just as valid, and the interaction between that almost can't be ignored in a way. You know, because I'd be personally I would never think in those terms because I'm still dealing with my body and what's happening with it and those elements. But then to kind of say, okay, well, this isn't the big bad wolf in the corner. It's actually part of us. And some of the details have been quite astonishing. So it's like taking a microscope over space, taking a microscope over time. And I felt that that was a really great way of bringing it back down to thinking. If that makes any sense.
And
I guess my next question off of that, which I haven't really formed any kind of big strong opinions or thoughts about, but the generational gap and trying to really understand that some of these students don't remember a time without email.
Right.
And how that, you know, not necessarily has to interact with dance, but it's part of us somehow. And it can't be ignored in that way.
It's funny because it's like a pendulum. One swings from one side to the other, or swings in a circle. It's probably more appropriate. But I've just come out of a phase of really owning up to my absolute interest in one body moving. My body moving. And what my body can do, and what kind of states of consciousness, or, you know, and the dance for a fair long time now, and I developed a certain amount of craft, and I think of myself as an old Native American basket weaver, you know, that, you know, I do the same thing, and it's, you know, very refined and clear, and I can reproduce one after the other. In some ways, I think of the craft of dance in that way. Like, I'm working on the subtleties of the texture of my...
Well, you're understanding what's here. Well, nobody can see me, but what's available to you and your body and the states available first.
Yeah. And I've gotten really deeply informed by the body works that I'm doing, what I've learned from
Alexander and acupuncture and body-mind centering. And so that's what made me think, oh, this is a technology. This in-depth understanding, this is a technology of knowing the world. Mm-hmm. That I can, it gives me tools that affect the world around me in the same way that a pencil affects the world, mm-hmm. world around me in the same way that a computer does. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's maybe not the same way, but it's just an idea. It was very freeing to think of that as technology that's moving alongside of these technologies that are part of my daily life, the cell phone, the computer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all a development from bird brain, where, you know, I'm somebody who has a really strong sense of direction. I always know where north is. I always know how to return to a place. I can't follow anybody else. I trust my own sense of direction much better than anyone else's. Mm-hmm. And thinking, well, what happens then when people are just relying on the global positioning system on their watch, mm-hmm. and they're dependent on the satellite that's sending information to them, and then our world gets, is the world then as small as where the satellites are, instead mm-hmm. of the thousands and trillions of light years away that the stars are that we used to navigate by? So that's another relationship to space. That's a really specific example, mm-hmm. but that's what started getting me think about this, doing the bird brain migration.
But also what that exact relationship does to one's instincts.
Yeah.
I was teaching a class, the kids were like 12 and 13, and there was a clock on the wall, an old-fashioned clock.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, and I was like, I didn't know the clock was there. I said, does anybody know what time it was? And they were all like, well, we can't read the clock.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm sorry? And they said, oh no, who's got their phone or digital? They couldn't read an analog clock, they had to read digital. And I just was completely terrified.
Yeah.
You know, so there's two things going on there. One of, you know, like your natural instinct being able to look at the sky and say, okay, I know precisely or around what time it is. And I feel that there's, you know, the loss of that, but then there's a different relationship,
right,
to the thing that's replacing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
And I think that I was thinking, oh, there's a replacement going on. But possibly there is, you know. But that's where I come back to this idea of craft, that maybe there's this, all these different veins can continue forward. Mm-hmm. And certainly some will become advantageous at some points, but sometimes you're going to want to know the other. Just in terms of fashion, my niece is really into fashion, and she recently took a workshop, a weekend workshop, with old press.
With what?
An old press. Like, right. The quality and texture of something that's printed by hand on an old printing press is becoming fashionable again, you know.
And that's about craft.
Yeah. It's about one's relationship to things, which is, I think, my whole interest is very, you know, I don't know, like, ecological, like the mm-hmm. relationship of systems within each other, mm-hmm. or in relation to each other. Everything's in relation. So the more, it's interesting to me that you talk about the detail or the specifics of bringing the microscope, you know, and
it's very scientific.
Yeah, the sort of under, and also it doesn't let you take for granted the relationship. You have to really understand the relationship and know why it's that relationship, and what, if you're a choreographer, why you're choosing to make mm-hmm. something in a curved space or a straight space or a very short amount of time or a long amount of time.
And there's, you could spend an infinite amount of time with just one of those elements with that microscope.
Yeah.
Which to me was just like, it really just reminded me of what we can deal with if we choose to and if we don't, and the possibilities there. I think sometimes I feel like a lot of dancers are just looking for the one thing to deal with. And it's a limiting way of thinking about it. And that also comes, you know, the way we judge mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the time we were working in class with textures, and we created some material, and you gave direction about performing it in three different ways. And one of them was the super dancer, which everybody just had this immediate understanding. But I just sat there and watched it, and I said, well, this is another option here that probably none of us would have thought about because we already put a judgment on what that
mm-hmm.
meant,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to seeing it for what it is, or seeing the shift between the super dancer to the timing or something else. And again, I find these classes really informative because they just remind you of all the options that are out there. And the led by yourself, who's been there and who's interested in these things and who won't let them go, in a way. Like, I don't get the feeling you're just going to, like, okay, I'm done with that, next. You know, because what's the point?
Yeah, and that's what's so fun about teaching it, is that I really believe in that word workshop. We're workshopping these ideas together.
Yeah.
And I'm learning so much and able to think about things in different ways. And I think each melt workshop specifically, I think it really, you know, makes me more interested in what I'm doing and ways of doing it. And I hope that's what the students take away, is like, not, I notice how I used to deal a little bit more with my interests, like ideas of what's wild and what's civilized or environment, and now I feel like I'm really trying to pull back and just say, we're honing the tools here that you can use, and then you define what your interests are,
mm-hmm.
and how you're going to, what's the best way that you can have those ideas emerge into the world,
yeah.
and be present for your audience. And the thing that I've been seeing happening in this current generation, and that really interests me, and it comes directly out of my experience of being in Bird Brain, dancing outside with audiences that were mobile and dancing with people, is that this kind of opening up of experience or participation, like that first day is still, this is
so wild,
like, so incredible to me. That sense of being led through these different perceptual shifts in space as a group,
mm-hmm.
was, you know, just so delightful for me.
But you directed that.
Yeah.
I mean, that came out of, you know, you and everybody else being willing to kind of try that, and you created an incredible trust in that room in the first day. That was, I thought, was another extraordinary thing that happened. Which is kind of this point, or touches on my next question, which is really about, you might not have an answer, or you might, or the answer might have changed over time, but I find since I've been back in New York, there's this kind of weird unconscious denial of the different types of dance that is being made, and the way practitioners or choreographers are informing or choosing to use the form. And I mean, Susan Rivers last week had this great, you know, she was saying that, you know, in writing there's all these amazing subcategories that everybody goes, oh, you're a journalist, you're a poet, you're a screenwriter, you're a novelist,
mm-hmm.
you're this, you're that, you write jingles, you know, whatever it is. But in dance there just seems to be this kind of, we all know it's there, but we're afraid to kind of talk about it in some way.
Well, I wouldn't, I mean, I understand what she's trying to say, maybe speaking more within this, but, you know, we know the difference between a commercial dancer, a hip-hop dancer,
of
a jazz
course.
Dancer.
But
I still think, I guess what you're saying, the role of the dance is very clear if you say a journalist versus a document, somebody who's documenting something. Because that is really fascinating to watch in you, because you're so specifically trained as one kind of dancer, and this kind of questioning mm-hmm. of it is so alive in your body, and what you want to do with it or want to not do with it is very interesting to watch, because I think you're very alert and attending to these little shifts of timing or space, or that don't necessarily have to do with the generating a particular kind of movement. And I think for a long time I was really interested in generating movement that had never existed before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a hard thing to
of course.
So I think now I'm more interested in what, I mean, I'm always interested in dancing. That's who I am. But I'm also asking, what do I want the dancing to do? You
know? Well, that's kind of my question.
Yeah.
And do you have a philosophy or ideology, or, you know, certainly, say, for instance, when you're improvising, it's very much, you know, from an audience point of view, I am witnessing you move through different states. It's a witnessing thing. You're not showing me something. You're not telling me something. You're not explaining something. You're up there allowing me to be with you in that moment, which is very specific.
Yeah.
and dance does very well.
Yeah.
But if we're working outside of the realm of improvisation, do you have a, you know, is dance at service to something?
Yeah, I don't think it's a tough question. I don't think it's, I really don't think it has to be, it's, you know, really at service to itself. And it's interesting, you know, this is a big question for me because I obviously make this work that, you know, has a sense, you know, people always understand it's being environmental work, or, you know, people always think I have an environmental position, and I do, but it's not in my work. My work is just an opportunity for me to bring different ways of knowing. I think the world is kind of bereft of ways of knowing through movement or through dance or through a kinetic and physical understanding. Or that physical understanding is changing more towards the digital, computer, small, contained. And so my experience of dance opened up so much when I was doing Bird Brain, and I was dancing outside all the time. And I am so much happier, and I get so much more pleasure from the world because I just smell more things, and I notice shadows and shifts in sunlight and the wind and, you know, all these things that I've been kind of aware of, but now I'm totally attuned to in a way that, and that's what I want to be able to do through dance, is tune people into their own kinetic awareness of the world through something like a large phenomenon. Our bodies and our brains and our consciousnesses are such a huge phenomenon, and they are related to and other large. That's why I take a big phenomenon like bird migration. If I investigate that, what am I going to learn? What's it going to learn from, you know, if I take an aquifer, what am I going to learn? This idea of a container of water. Our bodies are containers. You know, all these things, they're just an opportunity for me to explore the world and like highlight and this the physical way of knowing the world. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun to go to places where people aren't dancers, and hopefully they get something from it. So, I mean, I kind of feel missionary. Like that, I'm really passionate about it. But I think, you know, dance is also so much more complicated and does so many more things, and that's why a melt workshop lets me kind of explore other sides of the work that, you know, sometimes I'm just dying to do something in a conventional theater with fancy lights and, you know.
And why don't you?
Well, maybe I will soon.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, the early days.
Okay.
The early days.
Are you coming full circle?
Maybe, yeah.
And when you decided not to do that, and you got very passionate about what you were just talking about, did you feel like you just couldn't go back there? Like, did you judge that place?
I think I don't know if I judged it, because I've always still really enjoyed going to see that kind
right.
of work. I love the work. I love the work. I love dancing.
Did you feel like you'd be letting yourself down? Did you see it as a kind of, I guess, you know, if we're looking at it somehow vertically, that you were going back instead of moving forward in some weird way?
No. I don't necessarily think of progression or linearity. Everything is kind of more circular or obtuse, indirect. I learned that from birds. But I think that I had, for whatever reason, to define myself as not making things in theater for a while, like to be free of that world and be allowed to imagine myself in a more, what felt to me like a much more expansive world,
right.
and open up my relationship to communities outside of a dance community.
I ask you that kind of selfishly because I feel that, you know, I struggle with this place of commerciality as opposed to what I'm actually really interested in doing,
right.
and I try not to judge commercial work.
Right.
from my place, because I go and I see a lot of commercial stuff. It's just that I don't have any interest in doing that right now.
Right.
Because this is far more important and, I don't know, all-encompassing in some way that that's not.
Right. And those questions of why that is and what are the compromises are really valuable to look at.
Yeah. So, maybe we should wrap up by telling me what we're going to be doing today in terms of energy. Because the other really interesting thing about getting back to the workshop in terms of looking at these elements and in detail, in supreme detail, is that I found one element bled into the other, bled into the other.
Yeah.
That there's absolutely no way you can just go, okay, I'm dealing with time and time alone.
Right.
Um, and that required a different microscope to go on top.
So I think as a young choreographer, I never was interested in making really defined movement and teaching it to people. I always wanted them to get the energy of something. So once I realized that, I was like, what am I talking about? Do I want them to do it with my energy?
How do you communicate that?
Yeah.
If that's a choice?
And energy is such a huge, huge, you know, it's as vague and open as time or space, you know? So I just started developing all these ways of investigating what it meant to me and teaching them.
Okay.
Because I find that, you know, I've done a lot of training with image work, but I don't necessarily think that's the intuitive place where I would start dancing from. So I had to learn how to work with imagery. Or some people definitely dance from a real clear sense of their actual alignment, their skeletal system and their bones. And I felt like I was always thought I was dancing from some kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years of teaching, just proposing ways of thinking about it, mm-hmm. and this idea of can one gather energy? Can one, accumulate energy over time and then use it up?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's an energy state? How do you define an energy state? Is it defined by a quality or a movement investigation, or if that's part of it, but there's also some space component and a time component and an emotional component and a psychic component?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things, and can you articulate which one is working more
at the forefront?
Yeah,
for
yeah. And then if it shifts somewhere else, what's shifting? Can you follow the transition? So I'm really interested in transition. What's the transition? So that's kind of, well, we're going to generate energy states and then see if we can compose with them.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That was great.
Really fun.
Thank you.